The scripture lesson this morning is from Psalms 130. It's printed in the bulletin, so I'd appreciate it if you would read along with me. From the depths of despair, O God, Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you have kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than the centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than the centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is an unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. This is the word of God.
So I kind of miss the choir being up here. I feel really alone. Do you guys mind coming up and just sitting up here for a while? No. Well, you know, about 20 years ago, I decided it was about time for me to realize a lifelong dream. I wanted to learn how to surf. I'd wanted to do it since I was a little kid, but I didn't live near the ocean, for one thing. But there were a lot of other things got in the way, you know. So I never did it. About 20 years ago, our son John was born, and I decided, you know, when he gets a little older, I'm going to want to do this with him. So I better get out there and learn how to surf. So without knowing anything about surfboards or anything about surfing, I bought a surfboard, and I went out and tried to teach myself how to surf. And it was a mixed result, mostly failure. But I decided at some point in the midst of all that failure that the thing I really needed to do was go to a real surf spot, a place where all the surfers went, a place that was a premier spot, and then I know I'll be able to surf. Of course. Something like that. So, short of Pipeline, I actually went to Manhattan Beach. Pretty popular spot, right? A lot of people go down there. It's in the South Bay. So I went on the dawn patrol, you know, I went really early in the morning and I got there with my board. And I noticed right off the bat that the sky was this steel gray, you know, really kind of angry looking sky. And the ocean wasn't that inviting looking either. It was all full of white caps, you know, you ever seen that? And, you know, the waves were really big. But they weren't coming in an organized kind of fashion. They were just sort of crashing everywhere and really pounding the shoreline. But, you know, I didn't know enough to know whether this was really going to matter, you know. And I sure wasn't going to ask anybody because I didn't want anybody to know that I didn't know what I was doing, right? Of course. And besides, there was nobody to ask anyway. Nobody was on the beach. Everybody was up in the parking lot, which was significant. If I'd have been thinking, if I'd have had my wits about me, I would have realized, as I found out much later, of course, that there are only three reasons why surfers will not be in the water in a premier surf spot in Los Angeles. One, the conditions are unsurfable. Two, the conditions are dangerous. Or three, both of those. So I bet you know which one applied to this particular day. But I didn't know. So I took my board, you know, and I plunged into the water, just me and the three companions that I always seem to take with me whenever I'm about to do something stupid. I bet you have the same companions. Lack of wisdom, a little bit of pride, and this uncanny ability to sort of tune out the signs, the things that may be pointing towards the fact that you're heading for trouble, okay? So I jump into the water, and I start battling my way out past the pounding shore, you know, coming in. And I'm getting washed back, but oh, no, I'm determined. I'm going back out. I'm clawing my way out into the ocean. I get washed back again, but I claw my way back out there, and pretty soon I'm a good 70, maybe 100 yards out there, okay? All of a sudden, big wave comes. Now guess how long it took that wave to separate me from my board? About that long. And all of a sudden, I'm just bobbing around out there in the water, you know. My arms are exhausted. My board is going that way. And nobody's on the beach. And all of a sudden, I start to feel a little regret, you know. Just a little regret. Yeah. And I begin to think to myself, you know, I wonder if this is how it is that people drown out here. You know, in the Psalms and in the Old Testament in general, the sea is always pictured as a place of real danger and upheaval. It's always pictured as a place that's chaotic. And it has the potential to just draw you down into the depths. It's a place that is so chaotic that only God can bring order to it. The sea is seen as a really volatile place. You ever heard that expression, feeling out to sea? Sometimes we feel that way in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we go through periods in our lives where we're really kind of out to sea. For some reason or other, we're kind of pulled into places where we really ought not to go. We're pulled into situations and circumstances that we know they're just going to go bad for us. Get into relationships that can be destructive and seem to pull us away from who we really want to be. We can be pulled like a tide pulls us into habits, into lifestyles that are unhealthy. And that maybe work to disturb our relationships with our families, with our wives, with our kids, with our friends. We get in these places where we're kind of out to sea emotionally, and we just don't know what to do or how we're ever going to get back to solid ground. Now, we generally don't go into these situations intentionally. We get there pretty much the same way that I found myself bobbing around out there in the ocean without a surfboard and with no one on the beach. We get there by a lack of wisdom, especially when we're young, right? I mean, this is no knock on young people, but wisdom comes with living, with experience. And when you just haven't done enough of it, well, you just don't know. You just don't know. So when we're young, we get into trouble sometimes. We get there by pride. And that affects a lot of us older people, doesn't it? As we get older, we start thinking we know it all. And we don't have to listen to anybody. And we get in that place where we really don't want anybody to know that we don't know what we don't know. So a lack of wisdom, a little bit of pride. And at any age, gosh, don't we have a real facility in our lives? Aren't we really good at not seeing what we don't want to see? At not hearing what we don't want to hear? At moving forward no matter what, the way that we think we ought to go? It's a little bit of a lack of humility that gets us into these situations, that gets us into these places where we feel that we're at sea. And we don't know how we're going to move forward. Well, when we do this enough, over time, we may start to carry with us a little regret, right? Especially as we look back over our lives, we get a little regret. We start thinking, man, I really wish I hadn't done those things I did. And we start thinking to ourselves things like this. If only I hadn't made all those mistakes when I was young, my life would be so much better than it is today. Or things like this: if only I could get a hold of myself, change myself now, I'd be such a much better person than I am today. Now, those are fair questions to ask. They really are. Because, look, there are consequences to our actions. And we do affect other people by the way we are. So it's good to look at those things in our lives. It's important. But there's one thing that we can begin to think when we have regret about the past that is an out-and-out lie, and here it is. If only I hadn't done those things, and if only I was a better person, God would love me better. God would love me more. And that's an out-and-out lie. And isn't that good news today? Amen. That's good news today. Because the fact of the matter is, God cannot love us any better. God loves us completely. He can't love us any better. But we can seek Him better. We can seek Him more. Just like the psalmist does here in Psalm 130. He says, "From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call to you for help." This despair that he's talking about, it's that kind of regrets, that kind of guilt, it's that kind of feeling that we are separated from God. That we're so bad, we are separated from God. Well, listen, out of the depths of that kind of despair, he calls to God. He says, "Hear my cry, O Lord, and pay attention to my prayer." This is really wonderful stuff for us today. Because what the psalmist reminds us of is, no matter how great our lack of wisdom may have been, no matter how spectacular our pride, no matter how willfully blind we were to those things that could have kept us out of trouble, no matter what, no matter how dark and deep our despair may be, God is still there. There is no place so dark. There is no hopelessness so thick that God is not still there with us. And guess what he's doing? He's yearning for us to call to him. He's yearning for us to turn our hearts towards him, to look at him, and to look for the dawn that he wants to bring into any darkness that we're feeling. The psalmist says, "I'm counting on the Lord." Oh, yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. More than centuries long for the dawn. In biblical times, every city had a wall, any city of any size. And on the wall were battlements, and every night on those battlements were sentries, people whose job it was to stand watch through the dark, through the absolute darkest of night, through the coldest times, through the most dangerous times. And they stood, and guess what they did? They peered as hard as they could towards the horizon, waiting for that sliver of dawn and the hope that it brings. When we, or anyone we know, begins to feel this despairing, that they have been pulled down into the depths, that there is nothing but darkness around them, that they are hopeless, we have good news. God is with them. And he's yearning for us to peer into that darkness and wait for that dawn to crack. He wants us on dawn patrol. He wants us on dawn patrol, looking for him and the hope that he has for us. The fact is, no matter how bad we think we've been, no matter how far we believe we've strayed, God is filling that gap. And he's filling it with his forgiveness. His forgiveness and his grace. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, oh Lord, who could ever survive? You know what that means? We're keeping the record, not him. When we believe we are separated from God because of all the things we have done, that's a sentence we're putting on ourselves. And it is not a sentence that our God wants us to suffer. You offer forgiveness. And here's why. So that we might learn to praise you. God wants us to feel forgiven. God wants us to throw those things away. God wants us to grab onto that dawn, onto him, to take that forgiveness so that we can go out and praise him. And all the glory goes back to him. What a great God we have. Yes? Yeah. That's good. So how far does this grace that God gives us, how far does that grace extend? Well, we'll talk about that next time. It's late. But I'll give you a hint. What happened when I was out there on that water, bobbing along, all my strength was gone, my board's out there somewhere, I'm looking at a vacant beach, thinking maybe this is how people drown. I realized there was only one thing I could really do. For one thing, a little bit of my wisdom clicked in. I had a little, and it clicked in. And I remembered that if the tide is pulling you out, if the riptide is pulling you out, the worst thing you can do is fight against it. So the wisdom kicked in, and I just surrendered. And whenever those waves came towards the shore, I kind of just helped it along as best I could. But then when the tide was pulling back out, I tried to stay as still as I could, and I waited. And, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Over a period of time, you know, I sort of found my way a little closer to the shore. And then glory be, lifeguard truck drives up, pulls right in front of me. Somebody must have been watching this whole thing. Now, they weren't going to get out of the car because obviously it was really cold and, you know, my head was still above the water and they're just like, but, you know, at this point, my pride was not an issue anymore. My pride was not an issue. And so I just watched them watch me until I finally got up on the shore and sort of, you know, came up and, you know, like a wet puppy, picked up my board and put my tail between my legs, walked back to my car. Sometimes the thing to do is to surrender and to wait. Because God's there. The dawn is ready to break. If we're looking. If we're on dawn patrol. Oh, yes. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just amazed that you love us. We say amen. We say amen when we hear these words because they're true. We know they're true. And they strike us, Lord, in our hearts. And they help us. They fill us with gratitude. They fill us with the love of you, your love that is true and good. We pray, oh God, that you help us to be a reflection of your love, but also that we might be an encouragement to others who may feel as though they have been abandoned. Oh, Lord, Lord, help us, help them know that that is just not true, that that is a lie, that you love us, that you're with us, that you long for us to cry out to you. And indeed, Lord, that you save. Blessed be your name. Amen.